welcome in their service in the name of the Lord. Praise God. I was helping a wee man the other day, and the fella we were doing a bit of work for, he's a saved man as well, but he's quite a quiet man. And the things just come round about salvation and things. And this fella with me, this is the fella that wants to be a Catholic. He started telling, but I knew a Christian and he done this, and I knew another one and he done something else. And the fella we were working for turned around and he called him by his name and he says, God will never ask you about any of them when you get over there. He'll ask you, what did you do with Jesus? And not ask you about any of them. He'll ask you, what did you do with the Lord? And I'll tell you, there was no more talk the rest of the day. You know, but that's what he admitted, because every time it was a works program, and it's not a works program. Sure, it's not. It's what the Lord done for us. Amen. Let's turn to the Word of God tonight, to Matthew 24. And don't forget this weekend, Brother Andrew comes. And let's pray for the services, that the Lord really move in our meetings and speak to every one of us. And that the Lord will bless Brother Andrew as he comes as well. And that the Lord will have his way, praise God. Just remain seated tonight. Just want to read Matthew 24. Let's read from verse 36 of Matthew 24. And this is a well-known portion of scripture tonight. Verse 36 to 39. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Praise God. Let us just bow our heads tonight. And if you have a request for anything, just raise your hand to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight that we have a great privilege which is ours as the people of God. That we have an advocate through Jesus Christ, Lord. And we can humbly and boldly come before you, Lord, because you are our new and living way between the Father. Lord, we do come tonight pleading the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb. We say that you'll forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Forgive us, Lord, anything we've done, Lord, that's displeasing to you, and wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Father, we come from your footstool into your throne room and into your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, as our brothers prayed, we ask that the Holy Spirit will be one of our number tonight, that you'll move from heart to heart and from seat to seat and fill us and touch us, everyone tonight, and refresh and strengthen your people in Jesus' precious name. Lord, ask for the hands that's raised. You know every need. You know all about it for your mindful office, Lord. And Father, we just bring all these needs before you tonight. And we ask you'll meet every need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me and strengthen me and move me tonight. And I thank you, Lord, you to undertake for me in Jesus' name. Bind the devil, I pray, spoil his goods and all his works and all his influence. And may you influence with your word and with the Holy Ghost tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one tonight. Praise God. I was going to say, let's read it, but everybody has seen it. John's missing tonight, maybe a few others, because there's a few of the young ones just getting their introduction tonight up to the high school. When we were all going to the high school, my Uncle John here used to ask us a question. Have you a head for heights? I used to ask us all that same question. I missed it when William went out tonight. I should have asked him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I just want to take the night for a few thoughts from this scripture on Noah. And I just want to look at Noah and how that Noah types Christ. And the Bible says here, all of it Noah spoken of, and you could read Genesis 6 and 7 if you want to read it as well for these different scriptures. And Genesis 5 and verse 29, I won't turn it for the sake of time, I don't want to hold you as long tonight. But we're told that Lamech, that was the father of Noah, named him Noah. And the word Noah means rest. And you think of it in the time and the period where there was such sin and turmoil, God raised up a man called Noah to give rest. And this Lamech's reason for selecting that, he looked upon his son as one who would bring rest and comfort from the curse. And there was a curse in the land. And a brother mentioned it tonight when it's coming in, and it's part of what I want to preach about a little bit tonight, that the buildings is all going to be flying the flag. That's not the Union Jack or the Red Hand of Ulster. They're flying a new flag. It's called the Rainbow Flag. And there's a certain date and there's a certain time when all these different buildings around the country agree to fly the flag. And you think of it in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of God. But the Lord had a man called Noah, and Noah was to bring about rest, but the rest would only come to those that believed on the Lord. Amen. Rest. In a time of sin, of celibacy, and sin of marrying, giving wives to marrying, the original Greek dialogue doesn't even say they took themselves wives, it says they took women. And isn't it that way today? Men just take one woman, then another woman, and so forth. And that's the way it is. And also, when you read the history of the days of Noah, they say the beauty of women was such that men worshipped them. They worshipped them. And the world today is all about Max Factor and all about beauty and how good they can look and all the rest of it. And William Branham prophesied, and he said that one of the signs of the end time would be that the beauty of women would increase. And he mentions women in his time, and he says that, you know, there was hardly a good-looking woman all them years ago, but he says every schoolgirl today is good-looking. And he said that's predicted, and he predicted it in the last days that would happen. Now, some might argue that they're not all good-looking, but anyway, but the picture-wise, universal over the world, and some people worship women. And Noah here was to bring about rest, and we have a rest tonight through Jesus Christ. Our rest is not in a church. Our rest is not in an organization. Our rest is not in any blasphemous names. But our rest is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God placed a name, and he said, in that name will be God's chosen place of worship. And that name where God's chosen place of worship is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for two or three of us is gathered in his name, he will be in the midst and not to bless us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth in the tree. We can only have rest, and we have rest tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that while we're in this flesh, we're going to battle. We're going to war in the flesh. We know that. Paul said the things he doesn't want to do, he finds himself doing. All of us are guilty. But we're going to be delivered from this past house. For this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortality is going to put on immortality when the Lord comes. And we believe we're still looking for the coming of the Lord, aren't we? 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What else does it say? We're to comfort one another with these words. Praise God. And there's many saints going on. A brother John Nobles went on to be with the Lord. But you know, there's a day coming, the graves are going to be open. And if we're here when the Lord literally comes, we're going to be changed and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The graves, our loved ones, are going to go first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. So even in the midst of all the turmoil of the day and all the sin of the day and this rainbow movement or whatever they call it, I could say another name for it, so could you. But in the midst of it, God still has a people. And here in the days of Noah, God had a people, praise God. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Noah's name is a type of rest. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us rest. There's nothing else. No one else can give us rest like the Lord. Jesus Christ is our heavenly Noah,
saying, come unto me. What a blessed rest it is to know that we've been delivered from the curse underneath which sin's left. And you see, Noah wasn't in the particular sin curse at the time. He wasn't involved in it. And we're going to see that tonight. Noah was above it. Noah wasn't involved in it. And God delivered him. And he's a type of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that he couldn't have sinned. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the sin of that time, which you know what it was, he wasn't involved in. They were wiped out because of it. God wiped them out. And only 8 souls were saved. The debt has been paid and we are free. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus Christ has bled and died for the remission of our sins. Praise God. Now I want you to see for a moment also in Genesis 6 and verse 9, if you looked at it, I want you to see Noah's character. And I want you to see the character of Noah is like the character of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 6 and 9 it says, these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Isn't that something that God can say about a man? Perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah was perfect in his generation. Praise God. In verse 5 it says of Genesis 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Man's thoughts were evil continually, but Noah walked with the Lord. And Noah didn't have these things like they had these things, because he was the Lord's man. Praise God. Perfect in his generation. This indeed is a picture of the universal unrighteousness that we see here in the Bible. The universal condition of unrighteousness in the days of Noah is like the universal condition in the world today. The world today is in sin. And not only is the world today in sin, but the world today glorifies sodomism. It glorifies it. It magnifies it. It shoves it in your face. The very fact that they're going to fly flags on the building is pushing it in your face and my face. The very fact that they're doing that, they're pushing something that's wrong in your face and my face. The same with abortion. And there's so many politicians today, they're on the newspapers, on the television, on the radio, everywhere, crying out for abortion. And saying, they do it over in England, we should be doing it here. And they're arguing this point and that point, they want to be murderers. And abortion's murder. There's no other way you can look at it. That's murder. And I tell you, like in the Bible, when they made the children pass through the fires to Baal, to the false god. And they want to commit murder. And they want to justify it. And they want to say, we have a right to do whatever we want. And it's not the condition of Laodicea, people's rights. They want to do what they want, but it's against the word of God. Look what it says in verse 5 of our text. Every imagination of verse 5 of Genesis 6, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart, man's heart was only evil continually. Continually. That's why, look, a man that says, things about other men, any man's liable to anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? The good wee fella was blaming other people, but he himself is not saved. Now if he died and he met the Lord, what would he say? He can't justify anything by saying what I done or what you done or what somebody else done. He will have to give an account, and he will have to answer the same thing as what was said at Calvary. What will they do with Jesus called Christ? And they said, crucify him. And if he rejects him, he's crucifying him again. He's rejecting him. He's literally saying, crucify him again. And there's so many in the world today that don't want God. They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. Now look at this. That's to say that every thought had its basis in evil. Every act was wicked. And it was all the time continuing. No let up or no reform. Reform won't do it. Joining a program won't do it. Joining an organization won't do it. Making proselytes won't do it. A regimental procedure won't do it. None of them things will change a man or change a woman, but only the new birth will do it. The only thing that can change a man or a woman has been born the Spirit of Almighty God. And it's only the Spirit of Almighty God that moved in me and you that changed us. Isn't that right? And the Bible says we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Then in the midst of all this ruin, God pointed to one man who was free from the contamination of the particular sin. And I'm talking about the sin of Sodom and saying, Noah was free from it, and he was free from the running after the women as well. Noah wasn't a womanizer, and he wasn't a sodomizer. And we see today over the land, womanizers and sodomizers over the world. Womanizers and sodomizers over the world today. And it's just as it was in the days of Noah. And God pointed to this one man which was free from all these things. This particular judgment was coming on them. But Noah was saved. God visited Noah, and Noah was saved, and Noah's house was saved, praise God. Isn't that like in the book of Acts? Ye and your house shall be saved. Should that not give us courage tonight to pray for our loved ones that they'll be saved? We should be continually praying for our loved ones that they'll be saved. I believe every day we should pray for them whenever you have your time of prayer. Whenever time you pray, whether it's the morning or evening. And we should be praying for our loved ones that they'll get saved. Praise God. I was thinking the other day, you know, and I might have mentioned it, where God moves on families and God brings one in and then another one in. And you know, when you think about this, and somebody said this to me, and it's true what they said. They said, you see, God moves on families, but when one gets saved, they started praying for the other one. Isn't that true? And when one gets saved, they pray for the other one, and they get saved, they need two prayer. And the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, and 2 the tens of thousands, and a threefold cord's not easily broken. And when people come together in unity, it's a husband and wife, or two brothers or sisters as believers, and you pray in agreement for your loved ones, whether it's a brother or a sister, a husband or a wife, or an aunt or an uncle or a son or a daughter, keep praying, because the Lord will answer your prayer. And Paul said that his desire was that Israel might be saved. And we know it's not God's will that any should perish. Isn't that right? It's the Lord's will to save. Praise God. So Noah, in the midst of this all, and we need to look at this situation, really analyze it, and I want to take just a few moments tonight just to look at this. Now, if you go to Genesis 6 and verse 2, Genesis 6 and verse 2, and you could turn it in your Bible. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always thrive with man, for that also he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And if you read the original Greek dialogue, I know you could argue against it, that's all right. But the original Greek dialogue doesn't say wives, it says women. It actually says women. And you know we're living in a day, marriage is counted as nothing today. How many knows that? Marriage is counted as nothing. People move in with each other and they live with each other. And marriage is counted as absolutely nothing in the day we're living in. Everybody does it. They're not even convicted about it today. It used to be years ago, it was a shame. You know, a fellow with a Harley took a girl out years ago in case something would have been said. It's not the truth. But today they live with each other in sin and they think nothing of it. That's the sign of the end time. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Now that's one thing, but then when you have men with men and women with women, that's a whole other level again. That's sodomy. Amen. And Paul says God gives them over to that. Praise God. You read that in the epistles through the Romans and scriptures. But look at this. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always thrive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God come in unto the daughters of men, and they bear children to them, the same was mighty men, were of old men of renown, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination, the thoughts of his heart, was evil continually. And the modern preachers preach that these men was angels. And that breaks scripture. That breaks the scripture in Matthew 22 verse 30. For Jesus says you don't know the scriptures, for when you're as angels in heaven, they're neither given nor taken in marriage. In other words, you can't do that. That's what he's telling them. It breaks scripture. But people preach that, and almost every single organization today believes that. They believe that angels pressed themselves into human bodies and slept with these women. And it's absolutely unscriptural. There's no scripture says that. You know, they take a scripture from Jude. And the scripture in Jude says, for the angels were reserved in chains of darkness. That's where they take a scripture from. Totally out of its context. And they believe it. Let me read you this, what William Branham says about this. Did you notice it never said nothing about marriage? Notice the sons of God came in under the daughter of man. Nothing about marriage. And if you take in the original Greek, and he refers to what I've told you, wives, I looked it up the afternoon, it doesn't say wives, it says women. And you see men today, they take women, and they take as many as they want. They think nothing of it. Isn't that the truth? And they run about, and that's the way they operate. Taking all of the women, why, they took them just as they were, free lovers, like they had today. In other words, they were lovers in that day, just as they are now. They went any way they wanted, and they took women that they could. And when the sons of God, and many of them says here that they was fallen angels and so forth. And them men and women, but to show that it's wrong, it's absolutely wrong. The Bible doesn't say anywhere about angels being either man nor women. Nowhere. But people are preaching it. Now this is the thing about the message God sent. I want to tell you this tonight. God sent a message in the spirit of Elijah in the 20th century. And this is one of the things he straightened up. And you said that other people know it. Perhaps. Maybe they did, but I've never read of any of them. But maybe they did. But this is one of the things that God straightened up. Because people have been preaching for years that angels, fallen angels, come down, didn't they? And that's preaching that they can reproduce. Now you know in the book of Genesis that God said he put enmity between the seed. That it could never happen again. That's what God did in Genesis. But people preach it. And it's just the same with serpent seed that say eat an apple. And we know it wasn't an apple. And it wasn't some sort of a fruit like that. We know what it was. And how many knows what the tree of life is? Jesus Christ. And if they took of it, they'd live forever. But look what William Branham says here. It's absolutely wrong. The Bible doesn't say anything about angels. Speak about being angels. And now look, if you can look at Matthew 22 verse 30. Now there's no such a thing as a woman angel. That's the reason that women preach her. Angel is a messenger. An angel is a messenger. And there's no such thing. But you see that they have changed today like it was then. Now I've got some historical points wrote down here. And what he wanted to talk about. Women of the day of Noah. And he goes on to talk about the sons of God. Seth's sons saw the daughters of Cain. That they were beautiful. Why? They were wicked and they were daughters of Cain. And when the sons of God saw the daughters of man, they were fair. They took on to them wives, and the sons of God fell from their estate with God and became women chasers. And if that ain't the picture of today, I don't know what it is. It's true. And you think of so much today, so much of this man factor and beauty stuff and all these operations people get and all these different things. And the way they dress and everything is a sign of the times. How many knows that? And the end of those people's preaching that angels did this. And there's a lot of things preached that's not in this Bible. But people preach it and they'll fight you over it. Fight you tooth and nail over it, wouldn't they? Amen. So that's right. Even look at our churches today. Look at everything. It looked like that day must have been pretty women. Man became slaves then, says history. And man became actual slaves to women because they were so pretty that they became slaves. They literally made shrines and worshipped them. And that's the history of the days of Noah. And that's where we're coming back to the day. And between womenizers and sodomites, the lambs follow them. Now God judged them in the days of Noah. And God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. How can this generation escape? You say we're under the blood of Jesus. I know we are. But we are coming to the end of this Gentile dispensation, we are coming to the end of it. We all know that tonight. We know that the bride of Jesus Christ is soon to go. That there's going to be a rapture, catching up take place. And God's going to turn back to the Jews. Now we read at the very first scripture, no man knows a day nor the hour. Now I don't think people preach. People preach, when you meet a certain condition, the Lord will come. I don't believe that. Because if that's the case, we could set a point in time when the Lord would come. Then we would know. We don't know. We could say we're in the season because of the words of Jesus, what he said, when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, you'll know it's at the door. And that fig tree's Israel. And Israel's become a nation, so we know we're in the time period of the coming of the Lord. That's what we know. But we don't know the day and the hour when the Lord will come. But he's going to come as a thief in the night. Now that should stir us up tonight to be ready. And that should stir us up to get others ready. To witness for the Lord every opportunity we get. And to pray for our loved ones. And to live a life before them that's worthy of the gospel. Amen. So that they won't look at me and you and say, I wouldn't want what he's got. We should live a life that people can look at us and see Jesus in us. So that we're, as the scripture says, written epistles, seen and read of all men. Amen. It's not what we want. That's the word of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 to 6. Now, turn to 9. And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. So God is saying in his word, when you read this, look back. Look back. And you'll see when they did this before, what happened. And it'll happen again, the judgment of God. And you realize that judgment's over the nations? Judgment's over the nations, I believe that. It has to be. Because they've turned down everything God's done, they've turned it down. Even the church world's turned it down. They didn't accept it. They turned it down. You think of Paul the Apostle come back and preach some of the things he preached, you have trouble getting in anywhere. There's people say they believe what Paul preached, but they don't. They wouldn't want Paul. But there's some people that would want him. Amen. Jude, look, Jude 1, verse 7 and 8. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange places, set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And if you're standing up for the truth that a woman should not abort her child, that almost kill you with... Have you ever seen any of these sites or any of these things for people's on protesting the truth? And they almost walk over them, wouldn't they? They want to shut them up and close them up. They don't want you to say a word for the truth. But they have a speaker and they have a plaque, kill the unborn baby. That's what they're really saying. Mother's rights, what about the baby's rights? Amen. And that baby, you know, every soul's precious in the eyes of the Lord. And I tell you, you know the glorious thing about it? You see every one of them little babies that's aborted, they're saved. Do you realize every single one of them saved? And you imagine one day when we get on the other side that they're going to stand there and them people that never repented, look, they can repent. If they repent, the Lord will forgive them. But those that never repented, that never asked the Lord for forgiveness, never were washed in the blood of Jesus, they're going to stand judgment on the condemnation. And every one of those little babies over there. And I tell you, what's the church at home going to do on that day? All the little babies that was let out in cold stones. And all the old nuns that had their noses to the breast stop. And put them out in cold stones. That's history. And it's the truth. 68 million on our own martyrology. And how anyone would want to go back into that system? It's death. It's the highest form of spiritualism there is. Is the Roman Catholic Church, because they practice priestcraft. Priestcraft. Because they re-offer Jesus. Jesus can never be re-offered. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was offered up once and for all. Praise God, and he never can be offered again. I want you to see the wickedness of today, men and women. Women with women, as it was, so shall it be. You read Genesis 19, verse 4 to 10. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter, and they called on to Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? They wanted to know the man. Amen. You think of that tonight, and Lot had virgin daughters that never knew a man, and he said, take them and do what you will, and they said, no, we want the man. And you notice these angels were like men, because it says it, doesn't it? And how many know the Bible says many of us have entertained angels unawares? Have you ever heard a man testify that another, he met somebody that was actually an angel, but it was like a man? William Branham tells him that the angel came to him. Olive complexion, 200 pounds tall, and so forth. You know how he explains it. And I believe that can happen. I believe God can do that. I know of other men. Well, was visited. Now I tell you, you asked, you ever think it happened, you asked him his name. Asked him his name. And you know in the Bible, when they asked his name, he didn't give it. Did you know that? When he asked the angel his name, he didn't give it. Now the angel of the Lord did. He did to Moses. He says, I am. But I'm taller than an angel. But look at these men here. Look at this sin. And as Noah was perfect in the eyes of God, and Noah was perfect in the eyes of God in that generation, Noah did not fall to that sin. And how much more is Jesus Christ perfect in the eyes of the Father? We have a sacrifice tonight that's absolutely perfect. We have a sacrifice tonight that pleased God and appeased God. We don't need to make another sacrifice. We don't need a works program. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. And he says he doesn't impute to us our sin, but he imputes to us his righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We have a blessed hope tonight. And I tell you, you know, when somebody really gets saved, they don't need anything else, only the Lord. You pray for my friend. You know who I'm talking about that made a decision. Pray God will bring him right through. I was talking to him again the other night. Pray that God will move on. He says he's believing. But what happened? You look, that man never went, I can't say where, in case somebody gets this, but he never went for a long time, he'd broken away from it, but as soon as he made a decision for Jesus Christ, they swept him right back then. They even took him to extra classes. They never bothered with him before. But you see, once he accepted the Lord, how the enemy comes in? You see, when the seed falls on the ground, doesn't the weeds want to choke it up? Keep on praying. God can bring them right through. Do you believe that? God can do it. Christ is the only one in all the world which wasn't guilty of no sin. But he brought forth judgment. He was the perfect man. The man Christ Jesus. So we see Noah in his character was a type of Christ. Noah was not guilty of the particular sin that brought judgment. And Christ was not guilty of our sin that brought judgment. But the Bible says he became sin for us. He knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he took our sin. He took our place so that we could be free. Here's my last thought tonight, and I'm closing. I want you to see Noah's walk in Genesis 6 and 9, and it says, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God, and I want you to see his walk. And you could look at Enoch as well. Enoch walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Think back to the time of Noah's walk. Noah's walk wasn't an easy walk. Noah didn't have any crowds. Noah didn't have anybody to help him along. There was just a few. You remember Brother Andrew preached a great sermon about it. About Noah and about that day. And Noah preached his heart out for 120 years. He preached a message of repentance, but they never repented. They never got it. You think of that, that's striking, isn't it? Then you think of the scripture, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Then the word of God says, that day shall not come in Timothy, except there come a falling away first, Aren't we seeing a falling away today? Somebody will agree with me that anchors are falling away everywhere. There's a falling away in truth. People have took things that are true, but they've went too far with some of it. And they've organized it. They come out of one organization and then they made another one. Is that the truth? They took something that was true and they organized. Then they say the word won't organize, the word won't. But when you leave it, it's no more the word. And when you mix it, it's no more the word. It's hybrid. We don't need to mix God's word. We need to keep the word just the way it is. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Noah's day was a hard day, but Noah walked with God. Just 8 souls were saved. Noah didn't go with the crowd or the fast flow opinions. Noah walked with God, going against the tide of opinion, going against the flow of the word in his day. He walked with God. And you think the pathway Jesus was an easy one? He had to go against the tide of human opinion and human will as he walked with the Father. Jesus walked with the Father. And look, you think of it. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. That's a hard one to understand, but the Bible says it. And then the devil tempted him. And how did he answer him? It's written. It's written. He answered him with a word. Amen. It's not what William Branham said, give them the word test. No, he didn't say give them a quote test. When he said give them the word test, how many knows he meant this book? He meant the Bible. Amen. Give them the word test. Our foundation, I said it last week, the old woman used to say to me, did you ever go around the foundation? If we go around the foundation, and we need to, check our own foundation. And we need to see that we're on Christ, that we have some sort of an opinion that's not scriptural. And we need to make sure what we're on the foundation. Because the Bible says, let no other man build on another. For there's one that's been led. Jesus Christ. Amen. And when God brings us back into this book and we see the truth in this book and it runs parallel through the whole Bible, we know it's the Word of God. Just like when a man comes and he said, we don't need the blood. And we go back into Genesis, we find the blood offering. And then we go up into Leviticus, and Leviticus 17 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And then we come right through the Bible, every book in this Bible, there's a bloodline. Right up to Rahab the harlot, a bloodline. Right on up into the Psalms, a bloodline. Right up on into the New Testament, the bloodline. Right up to Jesus and the cross. Right up to Revelations. And then we read of the overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So we know when somebody says we don't need the blood, we know that's wrong. It's not the foundation. It's wood, hay, and stubble. And there's so many things. But I just want you to see Noah in his walk tonight, the type of Christ. John 5, and I'm almost finished. John 5, 19, 20. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these doth the Son likewise. Now the Lord's our example. I believe for me and you, we're to be led by the Spirit. Jesus did what the Father showed him. Amen. You know, you read, he didn't do many miracles in a certain place because they're full of unbelief. Then in another place he did many. Isn't that right? So, Jesus went some places and didn't have the revival he had in other places. Because they're full of unbelief. And unbelief kills the move of God. That's why it's sin. And may the Lord help every one of us to rid ourselves of all unbelief. Amen? And believe the Lord. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth them all things that himself doth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And nobody did greater than Jesus Christ. And the Bible clearly says, if all was written with Jesus done, there wouldn't be enough books in the whole of the world to contain it. What the Lord done, praise God. So Noah walked with the Lord. And Jesus is a perfect Noah, the Lord from heaven, as it were. You know, in a type. And we want to be like the Lord tonight. You know, every one of us can be influenced by a man or a preacher or anybody. That's true. But we need to be influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our greatest influence. Amen. Paul said, follow me, for I follow Christ. Amen. Not that you follow Paul, but because he followed Christ. And then you will follow in Christ. Amen. Let's come and pray and let's seek the Lord tonight. And don't forget to pray for Brother Andrew for this weekend.